हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ सहनावतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति 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 ओम। इन दिस थर्ड सेक्शन ऑफ द फर्स्ट चैप्टर ऑफ कठोपनिषद, कठोपनिषद we have seen Upanishad herself emphasizing the fact that one must commit oneself to the pursuit of jnanam. The commitment implies the commitment means total commitment. The total commitment alone will help a person take care of one's mental subtleness, intellectual subtleness and sharpness, that one can attain the jnanam. This atma jnanam, which is brahma jnanam, is very much dependent on one's intellectual sharpness and emotional stability. Because never a time atma is away from us. Bhagavat Swarupam, the very truth which otherwise said to be Bhagavan in the Puranas, is not even of a fraction of a second away from us. The very you, the content of I, is Bhagavan. The Swarupam, the truth of the universe, is always there as very you. Why is it not possible for us to take ownership of that one's own Swarupam? One Atma as one's own self. Still, it's very difficult to shift the cognitive identity cognitively, intellectually from Anatma to the Atma, in spite of being given to study of the Shastra. Which means this ascertainment of the vision, assimilation of the vision, is dependent on one's intellectual sharpness and emotional stability, for which one must make tremendous efforts wholeheartedly. That's why Shastra emphasizes one must consciously live a life of karma yoga to prepare one's mind for jnanam. Because what is to be known is the subtlest reality, absolutely attributeless. And to have that subtlest reality revealed to us, revealed to the intellect, intellect must be adequately sharp and refined and subtle. Therefore, Upanishad emphasizes, saying, Atma Jnanam is as difficult as treading on this sharpened edge of a razor. So we have seen the 14th mantra. We have yet to see the 14th mantra, I think. Okay, in the Bhashyam we have seen Nahi Upekshitavyam iti Shrutihi Anukampaya Ahamatruvat. Who can be compassionate towards one's child? Whose compassion towards one's own child will be the most? none other's compassion. It is mother's compassion towards a child alone is a real compassion. Because mother is matruvatu. Matruvatu means mata, like a mother. Shrutihi, this Veda Shastram. Anukampaya, out of compassion, said, na hi upekshitavyam. No, this pursuit of knowledge should not be ignored. It must be taken seriously. Well, that is where one's freedom is. That is where one's wellness is. That's where one's happiness is. The pursuit of knowledge should not be ignored. The teaching should not be rejected, ignored. One must make all possible efforts to be exposed to the teaching, to understand the teaching, to grasp the teaching, to assimilate the teaching, and to prepare oneself to receive and assimilate the teaching. It is said here, Ati Sukshma Buddhi Vishayatvat Jeyasya. Yesterday when Tristan asked, I explained this already. Buddhi Vishayatvat Jeyasya. The Jeyam, Jeyam is a potential passive participle. The word Jeyam is a potential passive participle, which means that which can be known, which has to be known. So here, that which has to be known is the Atma, the abstract reality, subtlest reality. And the reality is the reality, subject matter of knowledge is extremely subtle. Therefore, one must take care of one's mental preparedness. Kimiva soksha buddhihi iti uchyate. Soksha buddhihi kim? Soksha buddhihi kimiva? Kimiva means sukshma buddhihi ka. But here, soksha buddhihi kimiva. Kimiva means what type of sharpness of intellect or sharp intellect, the subtle intellect is needed to have this wisdom, to have the knowledge of the subtlest reality. What type of sharp, refined, subtle intellect is needed to have, to grasp, to gain the subtlest, gain the knowledge of the subtlest reality. So, if, what should be the degree of subtleness? How subtle the intellect should be? It's asked. The answer is given. Iti uchyate. Next sentence. Kshurasya dharagram nishita. Kshurasya dhara. Dhara means agram. As I explained, I told you, dhara means flow. Like a taila dhara, jala dhara, etc. Dhara means flow. But here the word dhara means agram. Dhara ityukte agram ityarthaha. Agram means edge. Kshurasya dhara is equal to kshurasya agram. The edge of the razor. The edge of a razor. Nishita. Nishita is the Upanishadic word. Shankaracharya writes, Tikshnikrita. Tikshnam means sharp. Tikshni karoti means sharpens. Nishita is equal to Tikshnikrita. Tikshnikrita is a past passive participle. What's the verb here? Tikshna. Tikshna adjective, sharp. Tikshna buddhihi. తీక్ష్ణం, తీక్ష్ణ షార్ప్ అడ్జెక్టివ్, బట్ తీక్ష్ణీకరోతి షార్పెన్స్, తీక్ష్ణీకరోతి షార్పెన్స్ అండ్ తీక్ష్ణీకృత షార్పెండ్. క్షురస్య ధార, క్షురస్య అగ్రం తీక్ష్ణీకృత. ది ఎడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ రేజర్ షార్పెండ్ దురత్యయ. దురత్యయ మీన్స్ వాట్? దుఃఖేన అత్యయ యస్యాః, దుఃఖేన అత్యయ యస్యాః. అత్యయ లిటరలీ మీన్స్ ఎండ్. హియర్ దుఃఖేన అత్యయ యస్యాః, సా దురత్యయ. సో హియర్ క్షురస్య ధార ఈస్ దురత్యయ, దుఃఖేన అత్యయ యస్యాః సా దురత్యయ. దుఃఖేన అత్యయ మీన్స్ ది ట్రెడింగ్ on which is possible only with pain. Dukkhena atyayaha. The edge, treading over which involves pain, difficulty. That edge is said to be Duratyaya Dhara. So here, Swatma Jnanam involves as much difficulty, as much pain as treading over the sharp edge of a razor. Which means, you can't literally take it. Oh, I can walk on the sharp edge of a razor. So what if it causes pain? So what if blood comes? It is possible for me. We should not take it literally. How difficult it is, how painful it is. So also, here the subtleness of the reality, the very nature of the reality, the subtleness is such that it is not an object. It cannot be known as an object through any of the pramanams. But still it has to be arrived at, it has to be claimed as one's own sarupa, one's own self. Therefore, one must be intellectually very sharp. Otherwise, it is not possible to grasp, arrive at it and to assimilate it. Therefore, it is said, Yatha sa padbhyam durgamaniya. Just as sa means that fine sharpened edge of a razor is durgamaniya. Padbhyam cannot be walked over easily with it, can be walked over with pain, with difficulty. Tatha, so yatha sa padbhyam durgamaniya, just as sa means that fine, refined, the sharpest, sharpened edge of a razor can be walked over with the feet, with the difficulty, with the pain. Tatha, similarly, durgam, similarly difficult. Difficult, what is difficult here? Dussampadyam, durgam means dussampadyam. Self-knowledge also can be earned with pain, with difficulty. Dussampadyam means dukkhena sampadyam. Painfully, only with pain, only with strain, only with effort, only with the hard work, only with the difficulty, self-knowledge also can be earned. Sampadyam means can be earned. Dussampadyam means what? Can be earned with the difficulty. cannot be earned easily. Durgam. Iti etat pataha. Therefore, etat pataha. Etat pataha means what? Panthanam. This path. This path in terms of self-knowledge, pursuit of the self-knowledge. How do we know that? Next sentence, next word says, Tattva Jnana Lakshanam Etat Panthanam Etat Pathaha is equal to Etat Panthanam. This path of self-knowledge, this path in terms of the knowledge of the truth, Tattva Jnana Lakshanam, this spiritual path in the form of knowledge of the surplus, knowledge of the reality, absolute reality, is also Durgam. Durgam means very difficult. Very difficult means what? This knowledge can be earned with difficulty and pain. Cannot be earned easily. So, pataha, panthanam, margam means the same. So, tattva jnana lakshanam, panthanam, pataha, margam, durgam iti, kavayaha vadanti. Kavayaha means men of vision, the seers of the truth, medha vinaha. Kavayaha is equal to medha vinaha. So, again, medha, medhavi is an akaranta pullinga shabdaha. Medhavi is the one who has the person of sharp intellect. The person who has good power of intellection is also called Medhavi. The person who has good power of intellection, who has the capacity to grasp the teaching and retain the teaching, assimilate the teaching, is also said to be Medhavi. But here, the person who has already received the teaching, assimilated the teaching, Ajnani is also called Medhavi. Kavayaha Vadanti means Medhavinaha Vadanti. Men of vision, men of wisdom say that this path in terms of the knowledge of the truth, attainment of the knowledge of the truth, can be earned with difficulty. With the pain, cannot be attained easily. Why it is not? It is said it not cannot be attained easily. As I said already, because the reality is the subtlest. There's nothing which is beyond the reality, nothing subtler than the reality. Reality is beyond everything, and reality is the subtlest. And any instrument that is used is, in fact, everything is here, grasp the standpoint of the reality. Again, when it is said, Atma, pursuit of jnanam is difficult, it involves pain, means Shastram does not say that we should give up that pursuit. No. Because it involves pain, because it is difficult, one must make more efforts, one must make tremendous commitment to pursue this jnanam. That is the idea here. Okay. Now, geyaha. Sorry. Next one. Next. We'll see the next sentence here. So, attainment of self-knowledge is difficult. It involves pain. That's why attainment of knowledge is said to be what here? Path. This path. The path means whatever the path of self-knowledge means. In making, once a person makes up his mind to pursue jnanam, and he makes efforts, then he is, there's like, it's like a journey. Why it's like a journey? Because the person has to shift his identity from the grossest physical body to the subtlest reality, which is of nature of pure knowledge. Like a journey. That is why it's said to be, the spiritual knowledge is said to be a path. The path of spiritual knowledge. Which involves a journey. Not real journey, a journey like a journey. journey wherein a person gradually shifts his identity from the grossest physical body to subtlest reality. And this is like an inward journey. And this involves efforts, this involves difficulty, this involves pain. Okay. Next, Gyeyasya Atisukshmatvat. Gyeyasya Tadvishayasya Atisukshmatvat. Again, Shankaracharya writes, Gyeyasya Tadvishayasya. That subject matter of knowledge, that subject matter of the knowledge which has to be known is extremely subtle. So, Gyeyasya Tadvishayasya Atisukshmatvat. Due to the extreme subtleness, Atisukshmatvat. Due to the extreme subtleness of that subject matter of knowledge which is to be known. I'm repeating it again, the sentence. Due to the extreme subtleness, because of the extreme subtleness of that subject matter of knowledge which is to be known, Jnana Margasya Dussampadyatvam Vadanti. Jnana Marga has Dussampadyatvam. The path of knowledge has the status of being earned with difficulty. Jnana Margasya Dussampadyatvam Vadanti. The wise people, Kavayaha Medhavinaha, say, what do they say? They say, they talk of Dussampadyatvam. They talk of the Dussampadyatvam. Of what? The Jnana Marga. That is, they say, the Jnana Marga has the status of being attained with difficulty. Be attainable with difficulty. It means the pursuit of jnanam, the attainment, the path of knowledge has difficulty, involves effort, involves strain, involves pain. Iti abhiprayaha. Vadanti. This is the abhiprayaha. This is the idea conveyed here. This is the idea conveyed here. What is the idea? Gyeyasya Tadvishayasya Atisukshmatvat. The subject matter of knowledge, which has to be known, is extremely subtle. Due to its extreme subtleness, all these wise people say that path of knowledge has difficulty and involves pain. Okay. With this, the commentary on the previous mantra is over. Now we are entering into the 15th mantra. Okay. Any questions from the 14th? Any word, the 14th mantra? Can you go ahead to the next one? Okay. In the next mantra, we can now, already Upanishad has, already Shankara Bhagavatpada has explained in the previous commentary that the pursuit of self-knowledge or the path of self-knowledge involves difficulty, strain and pain. It is as difficult as treading over the sharpened razor. The reality is extremely subtle. And that reality has to be arrived at, reality has to be claimed. Now the I is identified with the body which has all attributes. I identified with the mind, which has all attributes. I identified with the intellect, which has all attributes. Now, this I sense, we identified with the gross physical body, subtle mind, subtle intellect, which have all attributes, has to be shifted to what? Absolutely attributeless, abstract, formless, formless reality. So it is not that easy. Therefore, Shankaracharya already has explained the example given in the previous mantra. Now, in the very mantra itself, we will understand how subtle the reality is. Which means, 15th mantra presents beautiful definition of the reality. Definition of the reality is presented by the mantra for us so that we can understand the reality. And each word presented in the mantra negates what the reality is not. Thereby, it helps us understand what the reality is, how the reality is, in terms of its nature of attributelessness. I'm repeating this. The following 15th mantra, Upanishad presents the definition of the reality implied by the term Brahma or Atma. Brahma Swarupam Kim, Atma Swarupam Kim, Atma Kaha, Katam Brahma Asti. The question is asked, here is the answer in the 15th mantra. Okay, this definition, it's a mantra of definition of Brahma, presents words, and each word makes it very clear what the reality is not. Thereby, it reveals the reality in terms of its nature of attributelessness. Okay. Let us see here. Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces this mantra. Let us see what Shankara Bhagavatpada says. Tat katham ati sukshmatvam geyasya ityuchyate. Shankaracharya says, ati sukshmatvam katham geyasya. So, katham. How is the extreme subtleness? How is the extreme subtleness of the reality which is to be known? How is the extreme subtleness of the reality which is to be known? Even though we use the term which is to be known, which has to be known, which can be known, gayasya, the reality which is to be known is not the known. The reality which is to be known is not the known, which it doesn't come under the category of the known. The reality which is to be known is the very truth of the knower and the known. The reality which is to be known is the truth of the knower and the known, which is neither the knower nor the known. Reality is neither the knower nor the known. And the reality has to be arrived at as the swarupam of the knower. Then reality has to be understood that it is the truth of the known also. Reality is distinct from the knower and the known at the same time. And reality, the truth of the knower and the known, the distinct from the knower and the known, has to be known now. And that reality has ati sukshmatvam. Reality has extreme subtleness. So reality is of extreme subtleness. How subtleness is of the reality which is to be known? Jnayasya atisukshmatvam katham iti uchyate ityuchyate. Here it is said that extreme subtleness of the reality is discussed in this following mantra. Okay. Shankaracharya says, sthula tavat இயம் மேதினி. ஸ்தூலா தாவத் இயம் மேதினி. சி மேதினி இத்யுக்தே பிருத்திவி இத்யர்த்தஹ. மேதினி இஸ் எ பியூட்டிஃபுல் வேர்ட் ஃபார் பிருத்திவி. இயம் பிருத்திவி இயம் மேதினி தாவத் ஸ்தூலா. அக்கோர்டிஸ் ஏர்த் இஸ் கிராஸ். Earth is very gross. And shabda sparsha roopa rasa gandha upachita. The earth is gross element. Why? Because earth has upachita. Upachita means earth is with all these attributes, shabda, sparsha, roopa, rasa, gandha, upachita, prithivi, sthula. Earth is gross because it has five gunas, pancha guna yukta. Earth has sound, earth has this attribute of touch, earth has the attribute of form, earth has the attribute of taste, earth has the attribute of smell. Of course, smell is this unique and specific attribute of the earth. And this earth has borrowed the attributes of all other elements also. Therefore, shabda sparsha roopa rasa gandha upachita. Shabda sparsha roopa rasa gandha upachita prithivi sthula yam medini sthula. This earth, which is endowed with the five attributes, its own attribute of smell and the borrowed attributes of the five elements, it is gross. It means the more the attributes the element has, grosser it is. So earth is the grossest element. So earth is gross because of these five attributes. Yam medini shabda sparsha roopa rasa gandha upachita yam medini sthula. Okay. Therefore what? Sarva indriya vishyabhuta. Therefore what? Because it has all five attributes, it is an object perceptible through all five sense organs. Sarvendriya Vishayabhuta. Vishayaha here means object. We must be very careful. Sometimes the word Vishayaha, we must see the context. Vishayabhuta means earth is in the form of an object of all sense organs. Because it has five attributes, five gunas, Earth is in the form of an object available for perception through for all five sense organs. Sarva indriya vishyabhuta. So earth has this at sound aspect. Therefore earth can be, when something earthen falls, it can be heard. Earth can be touched. Earth can be seen through physical eyes. Earth can be, of course, smelt. Even earth can be tasted also. It's available for taste also. So anything earthen is available for five sense organs. Available for perception through five sense organs. Therefore what? Earth is sthula. Medini, yam medini sthula. This earth, prithivi is sthula, this gross, being endowed with five gunas, five attributes, five as. Therefore, what? Sarvendriya Vishayabhuta. It is in the form of an object perceptible through five sense organs also. Tatha, so also, the gross physical body. Tatha Shariram. Tatha Shariram, so also this gross physical body. So, the physical body is available for perception through all five sense organs. Why? It has all the attributes. When the body falls, sound is there. It's available for perception through all five sense organs. earth body has all five attributes because it's the modified form of gross elements. Anyway, tatha shariram. Okay, now we'll go to next sentence. Tatra ekaika guna upa guna apakarshena. Tatra ekaika guna apakarshena. Gandhadinam sukshmatva mahatva vishuddhatva nityatvadi taratamyam drishtam abadishu yavad akasham iti te gandhadayaha sarve eva stulatvat vikaraha shabdantaha yatra nasanti kimutasya sukshmatvadi niratishayatvam vaktavyam ityeta darshayati shrutihi. To make it very clear. Now, so having talked about the earth alone, why earth is the grossest element? Because earth is panchaguna upeta. Panchaguna upeta, panchaguna upachita. Shabdasparsharasa ruparasa gandho upachita. Sarvendra vishyabhuta. Tatha shariram. So also this physical body. Fine. So the more an element has gunas, grosser it is, in keeping with the grossness, in keeping with the number of gunas the element has, its grossness is understood. In keeping with the grossness, availability for perception through sense organs also is understood. Okay, now, tatra eka eka ekaika guna apakarshena gandhadinam apakarshena. Ekaika guna apakarsh gandhadinam ekaika guna apakarshena. When we remove, by reducing the each of the guna such as smell, etc., finally, sukshmatva, mahatva, vishuddhatva, nityatvadi, taratamyam, drishtam, abadishu, yavadu akasham. Abadishu means what? Appadishu. App means water. Adishu means etc. In the elements such as water, etc. Abadishu means in the elements such as water, etc. App means water. App becomes ab because of jastu sandhi. Abadishu, the elements such as water, etc. Yavad akasham, up to this space, what happens? Gandhadinam ekaika guna apakarshena. When you reduce the, by reducing the each guna such as smell, etc., in all these elements, we understand the gradation of a degree of subtleness of each element. Now, sukshmatva means what? Sukshmatva, subtleness. Mahatvam literally means greatness. The word mahatvam literally means greatness. But in this context, we take it differently. Greatness in terms of pervasiveness. The more something pervades more, it is bigger, spatially bigger. Therefore, mahatvam, bigness in terms of pervasiveness, greatness in terms of pervasiveness, mahatva. Sukshmatva, subtleness. Mahatva, the greatness or bigness in terms of pervasiveness, in keeping with the pervasiveness. Vishuddhatva. So subtler it is, more pervasive it is, something, then it is also purer. So Vishuddhatvam, purity. The Nityatvam. Nityatvam also, we can say, the duration of existence, the longevity. Nityatvam, it means timelessness, but here we take it as longevity. Nityatvadi, Taratamyam Drishtam. Taratamyam Drishtam. He says, subtleness, greatness or bigness in keeping with pervasiveness, purity and longevity, etc. of all this. Taratamyam Drishtam. The gradation has been seen. In what? In all these elements. Because earth has five gunas, so it is grossest. And water, ekaika guna apakarshena. By reducing each one guna, when you go to water, reduce one guna. There are only four gunas. Therefore, it is grosser. And we come to fire. Fire again reduce one more guna, only three gunas. It is gross. So gross, grosser, grossest. Earth is grossest with the five gunas. Water is grosser with the four gunas. Fire is gross with three gunas. Because you ekaika apakarshena. By reducing one of each. Then you go to, the next is water. The next you go to air, the air element. Air is subtle, not even gross air. Subtle because only two gunas. And you go to space, only one guna. This is called ekaika, ekaika guna apakarshena, gandhadinam ekaika guna apakarshena. By reducing, by removing one of the gunas, by reducing reduction of the gunas, such as smell, etc., we can see the subtleness and the gradation of subtleness, gradation in subtleness, bigness, in keeping with pervasiveness, purity and longevity, etc. You can see gradation in all these elements. Drishtam, abadishu drishtam, the gradation of subtleness, bigness, or pervasiveness, purity, longevity, etc. All this has been seen in all the elements, such beginning from water. Abadishu yavad akasham. Abadishu yavad akasham does not mean in the proper order. Generally, in all these five elements, that's the meaning. Iti, therefore what? Te gandhadayaha sarve eva. Te gandhadayaha sarve. All those attributes, all those gunas, such as smell, etc. Gandha adayaha te sarve. All those gunas, all those attributes, such as smell, etc. Up to what? Shabda antaha. Up to the sound, which is one guna of akasha. All of them. Vikaraha eva, all of them are modifications only. Stulatvat, due to the grossness. Stulatvat vikaraha eva, all of them are modifications only. All those attributes, such as smell, etc., up to the sound, all of them because of the grossness, all of them are vikaraha eva, modifications only. Okay. So why should you understand all this? Because all these attributes, so the number of attributes an element has, in keeping with the number of elements, gunas the element has, we understand the grossness, understand the gradation of the subtleness, grossness, etc. Then, and all of them are modifications only. Whereas now we are going to see Shabdantaha Yatra na Santi Te Gandhadeha Sarve Shabdantaha Stulatvat Vikaraha Eva Yatra na Santi, that in which all these are not there. All these attributes, all these gunas are not there. Yatra te na santi. All these gunas in terms of smell, etc., up to the sound are not there. Then, tasya kimu tasya sukshmatvadi niratishitayatvam vaktavyam. Then, what should be said of the subtleness and absoluteness of that vastu? What should be said of the subtleness and absoluteness of that reality in which all these attributes such as smell, etc., are not there? Gandhadayaha Shabdantaha Sarve Eva Vikara Stulatvat Vikaraha Yatra Nasanti. All those attributes such as smell, etc., beginning from smell up to the sound, which are nothing but modifications because of this grossness, that in which all these are not there, definitely that must be. What can we talk, say of? What should be say of? What should be said of that reality? What should be said of that reality? What should be said of the subtleness and absoluteness of that reality? Tasya sukshmatvadi niratishayatvam. Sukshmatvadi niratishayatvam means subtleness, greatness, all pervasive, timelessness. Adi Shabda stands for everything. Sukshmatvam, subtleness. Adi Shabda stands for Vishuddhatvam, purity. Mahatvam, greatness or limitlessness. Nityatvam, timelessness. Niratishayatvam, absoluteness. Of that vastu, kimu vaktavyam, what should be said of the subtleness, etc., absoluteness, etc., of that vastu in which all these gunas are not there. Ityetat darshayati shrutihi. So, shrutihi darshayati. Now, Upanishad shows. What does Upanishad show? Upanishad show beautifully. So, Shankaracharya's commentary helps us understand what the Upanishad says. We understand the elements as grossest element, gross element, grosser element, subtle element, subtler element, in keeping with the number of gunas element has. When you reduce, by reducing one after the other, we understand the gradation in all those elements. So, Akasha, having only one guna, is said to be the what, subtlest of the elements. And now, one guna Akasha has the subtlest. What about the absolute reality, Atma, Brahma, Yatra, Nasanti, where all these attributes are not there? Gunas are not there. Gandha Adayaha, Shabda Antaha, Stulatvadvikaraha, சர்வே ந சந்தி ஏவ ஆல் தோஸ் ஆட்ரிபியூட்ஸ் ஸ்வெல் எக்ஸெட்ரா. பிகினிங் ஃப்ரம் ஸ்வெல் எக்ஸெட்ரா, எண்டிங் வித் சவுண்ட், ஆல் தீஸ் விச் ஆர் மாடிஃபிகேஷன்ஸ் பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் தி கிராஸ்னஸ் விச் ஆர் நாட் தேர் அட் ஆல் அப்சல்யூட்லி. Therefore, what it must be much subtler than even this space. Therefore, that in which all these attributes are not there, what should be said of the subtleness, absoluteness, all-pervasiveness, purity, timelessness, etc. of the reality? இட்டி ஏதத் தர்ஷயதி ஸ்ருதிஹி, விச் மீன்ஸ் டெஃபினெட்லி த ரியாலிட்டி மஸ்ட் பி. இட்ஸ் ஆக்ஷேபார்த்தே பிரஷ்ன, கிம் வக்தவியம், வாட் ஷுட் பி செட் ஆஃப் சட்டில்னஸ் அப்சல்யூட்னஸ் ஆஃப் த ரியாலிட்டி மீன்ஸ் வி நீட் நாட் சே எனி திங். ரியாலிட்டி ஈஸ் தி அப்சல்யூட்லி சட்டலஸ்ட். தேர் கேனாட் பி, தேர் இஸ் நத்திங் சட்லர் தேன் தி ரியாலிட்டி. தெர்ஃபோர் it must be absolutely all pervasive, absolutely subtle, it must be absolutely pure, it must be absolutely timeless. Okay, let us see the mantra now. Panchadashaha mantraha, it's a beautiful mantra. I tell you, anybody giving any talk on the nature of reality cannot miss this verse. They all swamis, you can hear anywhere, definitely they'll quote this mantra, memorize this mantra. Ashabdam asparsham arupam avyayam, ashabdam asparsham arupam avyayam, ததாரசம் நித்யமகந்தவச்சயத், ததாரசம் நித்யமகந்தவச்சயத், அநாத்யநந்தம் மகதப்பரம் த்ருவம், நிசாயதத் தன்மிருத்யுமுகாத் ப்ரமுச்யதே. அஷப்தமஸ்பர்ஷமரூபமவ்யயம், 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 ததாரசம் நித்யகந்தம நித்யமகந்தவச்சயது, ததாரசம் நித்யமகந்தவச்சயது, அநாத்யநந்தம் மகதப்பரம் த்ருவம், அநாத்யநந்தம் மகதப்பரம் த்ருவம், நிசாயதன் மிருத்யுமுகாத் ப்ரமுச்யதே. So in this mantra, Upanishad, having presented the definitions of the reality, mantra also presents the benefit of discovering that reality, which is of the nature defined by these words. Okay, so he says param. Okay, this is mahataha param. Mahataha param, this reality, the reality is the most superior and the greatest, most exalted reality, beyond which nothing is, which is beyond everything. That reality is greater than even samashti buddhihi mahat. Mahataha param. Why mahataha param? Mahat itself has come into existence from avyaktam. This reality is avyaktat param. In fact, reality is superior to, greater than even the avyaktam. Because from avyaktam alone, the Mahat has come into existence. Mahat is manifestation of avyaktam only. The cosmic intellect, which is nothing but product of avyaktam, unmanifested power, And this reality is even distinct from, greater than, superior to even the avyaktam. For Mahataha Param is the absolute reality. And this absolute reality alone is implied by the term Brahma. And why is called reality? Because existence of the reality is the existence of the universe. Reality is universe enjoys existence. If without reality, universe will lose its status of being existed. Universe will disappear, collapse. If you remove the wood from the furniture, what will happen to the furniture? It will not be there anymore. Like that, without the reality, there cannot be something called universe at all. When you say universe, means there cannot be something called time or space or all the elements and elementals, living and non-living things, mobile and immobile beings, the actions, the functions, the results of actions, the laws which govern results of actions, the experience of pairs of opposites, the life, nothing will be possible without the reality. Therefore, the reality of the entirety of the cosmos, including time and space, that reality is implied by the term Brahma, which is greater than the samashti buddhi mahatattvam, mahataha param. And this is anadi, anadi anantam. This reality is beginningless. I'm starting from a third line, okay? Anadi, beginningless. So when you say beginningless, definitely you understand reality is nothing beyond the reality. Means reality is beyond everything. Means there's nothing before the reality. Therefore, reality has no cause of its own. Reality has no cause. It's uncaused, causeless. Therefore, it is beginningless. Not only it is causeless, it is not an effect. Reality is not an effect. Any effect has a beginning. Any effect has a, anything and everything she said to be a, an effect has a beginning. And reality is, does not have a cause. It is not an effect. Therefore, it is beginningless, anadi. Causeless, it is not an effect, therefore it has no beginning. Then, anadi anantam, it has no end also. It is not a cause also. Not only it doesn't have a cause, it is not a cause also, really speaking. And then, anantam, it is endless. Beginningless, endless. So beginninglessness, endlessness, anadi anantam, always means what? Means it is changeless also. Beginningless, endless, changeless. The dhruvam, dhruvam, changeless. Dhruvam means what? That which doesn't undergo any change is dhruv, firm. So beginningless, endless, changeless. Absolutely changeless, dhruvam. And here, ashabdam. So this beginningless, causeless, endless, changeless reality is devoid of sound, ashabdam. Ashabdam, devoid of sound, soundless. You know, it does not have an attribute of sound, free from sound, doesn't have the attribute of sound. It is the reality which lends existence to the attribute called the sound. The phenomenon called sound exists, enjoys existence because of the reality. But reality by itself does not have the attribute of sound. Shabda rahitam shabdasya stitihi. It lends existence to sound. It is free from sound. Then asparsham, asparsham. It is touchless. It doesn't have the attribute of touch. Reality does not have the attribute of touch. It is touchless. It is free from touch. But the object called touch enjoys existence because of the blessing of the reality. It is the reality which blesses, lends existence. The object called touch, a phenomenon called touch, enjoys existence because of the reality. But reality is free from this phenomenon called touch, the attribute called touch, touchless, free from touch. Arupam, so formless, devoid of form. Reality has no form. Formlessness is the form of the reality. Formlessness is the form of the reality. Inexplicability is the form of the reality. Therefore, formless reality, formlessness being the nature of reality, it is free from form. It has no form. But any form and every form enjoys existence because of the blessing of the reality. Arupam. Therefore, anything which has sound, this reality is distinct from anything which has sound, anything which has touch, anything which has form. Avyayam. Avyayam. So, all you have said, Dhruvam means changeless. Avyayam means na vyeti iti avyayam, that which does not decline, decay, change, avyayam, changeless, indeclinable. Tatha arasam. As well, this reality is tasteless, means what? It's devoid of the attribute called taste. Reality does not have a taste, but the object called taste enjoys existence because of the blessing of the reality. Arasam. Okay, this ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, avyayam, arastatha, arasam. Then you can say nityam. Nityam means what? There's never a time reality is not there. It is timeless, eternal, because it's beginningless, causeless, endless, changeless. There's never a time reality is not there. It's always there, eternal, nityam. Then agandhavatcha, agandhavat. Gandhavati Prithvi. Prithvi is Gandhavati. Earth element alone has this specific attribute called smell. Gandhavati Prithvi. Whereas reality, Agandhavat, the reality implied by the term Brahma is Agandhavat. It is smellless. Fragrantless. Reality has no fragrance, no smell. But the object called smell, the phenomenon called smell, enjoys existence only because of the blessing of the reality. So, agandhavat. Ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, arasam, agandhavat. Avyayam, nityam. Chayat. That which is anadi anantam mahataha param dhruvam. This is how the reality is. This is how the reality is. Therefore, what? As reality is absolutely free from all these attributes, it is attribute, it is of the nature of attributelessness. That is why it is implied with the term Nirgunam Brahma. nirgunam brahma. Look at the reality as the one which is in the form of the elemental universe, which is sagunam brahma. But really, reality by itself is of the nature of attributelessness. Nirgunatvam brahmanah swarupam. Attributelessness. Therefore, what? It is the subtlest. Now we can understand how subtle reality is. Attributelessness, therefore, what? It is not available for any means of knowledge. Can be perceived through sense organs. It cannot be described by words, not available for description. It cannot, reality cannot be conceived also. It's inconceivable through thoughts. So thoughts cannot conceive the reality. Sense organs cannot perceive the reality. Words cannot describe the reality. Why? Because reality is of the nature of attributelessness. Because of the nature of attributelessness, reality is of the nature of extreme subtleness. Subtlest. How subtle it is? Inexplicably subtlest. Okay. And tat nichaya, tan nichaya. See, this nichaya, nichayati is a verb. Has different meanings. The word nichaya has so many meanings. One meaning is perceives. Tan nichaya means what? Having clearly recognized, having clearly understood that reality. Having clearly, doubtlessly understood that reality as one's own swarupam, as the truth of I, as swarupam of the knower, muchyate, pramuchyate, a person becomes liberated for good. From what? Mrityu mukhat, from the jaws of death, from the mouth of death. Mrityu mukhat pramuchyate. A person becomes liberated for good from the mouth of death. Means the person becomes free from the phenomenon called mortality. Which means the reality is ever of the nature of immortality. When a person discovers this immortal reality as one's own swarupam, when he shifts his identity cognitively from the grossest physical body to the inexplicably subtlest attributeless reality, when all his the fundamental problems resolve because of the clear vision of the Atma, the person does not become free. He takes ownership of freedom, which is already there. So he attains Jivan Mukti. As a person of Jivan Mukti, then when his Paradha gets exhausted, and he attains Videha Mukti also. If a person is born again, death is possible. The person will not be born again. Therefore, death also will not be possible. So, this person becomes liberated from the mouth of death for good, means he attains absolute immortality. Videha Mukti. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. Ashabdamasparshamarupamavyayam, which means this mantra tells us anything which has a sound as an attribute negate it as non-reality. Anything which has a touch, renegate as non-reality. Anything which has a form, come on, it is non-reality. It is not real, it is not the reality. Anything which is subject to change, come on, just reject it as what? As not real, non-reality. Arasam, anything which has a ras taste, anything which has any taste, ignore it, negate it as non-reality. Okay, and therefore, if you have to negate everything as anything which has sound or taste or touch, etc., the entirety of the objective universe will become negated as non-reality. Even time will become negated as non-reality because time itself is anityam. Time itself is time-bound. Your time also will become negated as non-reality. Because nityam, time is not nityam, time is not absolutely eternal. Time itself has time limitation. Time comes and goes. There's a time the time is not. Your time itself is what? Anityaha. Kalaha anityaha. Therefore, time also should be negated as what? Non-reality. Now, anything which has a beginning is what? Non-reality. Anything which has an end is non-reality. Anything which is subject to change, anything which changes is non-reality. Therefore, if we use this, including time and space, time has time limitation, time is anityam, space is anityam. Okay? Everything in this world is anityam. Time is time bound. Space is time bound. All the elements are time bound. All elementals are time bound. All the living and non-living things are time bound. And everything in this world is time bound anityam. There's nothing which is not time bound in this world. Everything has a beginning and an end. Therefore, these words help us to negate the entirety of the objective universe, including time and space, as non-reality. Abrahma, the standpoint of reality. And what is reality? Reality is that which is free from all these gunas, which is beginningless, endless, changeless, and eternal, and which is even superior to the intellect, the firstborn intellect, cosmic intellect. And that reality, one has to arrive at. Having clearly understood that reality, and a person cannot see anything else as the truth of I. If a person has clearly understood reality, means what? He can arrive at it, he has to arrive at it only as the truth of the subject, the knower, I. And he has to resolve his I sense in the very reality only. If he arrives at it, then he has to say what? Aham Atma Asmi, Aham Brahma Asmi. That is how the reality has to be arrived, can be arrived at. Then he can intellectually shift his identity from anatma to atma. In this intellectual or cognitive shift, identity helps him take ownership of the freedom which is already there. This is how the person becomes liberated from the jaws of death. Mrityumukhat pramuchyate. Param Dhruvam Nichaya. Having discovered that, understood that truth, the person becomes free from bondage of death. Is the literal meaning of the mantra. So literal meaning. Now we have to understand, reality is not anything, but everything is reality. What is sound? Sound is reality. Touch is reality. Form is reality. Anything and everything undergoes a change is nothing but reality. Taste is reality. Anything time-bound is reality. Smell is reality. Anything which has a beginning is reality. Anything which has an end is reality. Mahat is reality. Anything which is constantly changing is also reality. Reality is not anything, but all that is everything is nothing but reality. Why? Because everything in this world enjoys existence only because of the blessing of the reality. The presence of the reality is, existence of the reality is, existence of all these different attributes. Therefore, everything is reality. Reality is not anything. And reality is absolutely free from all these attributes, distinct from all these attributes, though not distant from all these. And that reality, one has to distinguish, arrive at as one's own sarupam. When a person arrives at it and clearly grasps it, he becomes liberated for good from the bondage of death. Mrityu mukhat pramuchyate. Okay. This mantra, I request all of you to memorize this. Any mantra must memorize, actually speaking. Okay, let us see the bhashyam now. Ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, avyayam, tatha arasam. Ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, avyayam, tatha arasam, nityam, agandhavatcha. Yadi Shankara Bhagavatpada reproduces the same whole mantra again. Ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, avyayam, tatha, arasam, nityam, agandhavat, cha, yadi yetad, vyakhyatam. So that which is free from sound, touch, form, change, taste, smell, and time limitation is, or yadu, that which has been, yadu, yetadu vyakhyatam, that which has been explained, vyakhyatam. Or defined, what is that? Brahma, vyakhya, yadu, yetadu vyakhyatam, Brahma, avyayam. The absolute reality implied by the term Brahma, which has been defined as, defined by all these words as Ashabdam, Asparsham, Arupam, Avyayam, Tatha, Arasam, Nityam, Agandhavatcha, etc. That Brahman is what? Avyayam. Avyayam means what? That which does not decay or decline. Yadhi. Okay. Now he says, Shabdadimat. Yadhi Shabdadimat. Yadhi Shabdadimat means that anything that which has gunas such as sound, etc., that which has attributes such as sound, etc., Shabda Adimat. Shabda Adimat means what? That anything that which has attributes such as sound, etc., is what? Tad Vyeti. Vyeti. Vyeti is a second conjugation verb. Vyeti. Vyeti means changes, decays, declines. Tad vyeti. Okay. So anything which has these attributes, anything and everything which has these attributes changes. Yad, that indeed which is shabdadimat, which is endowed with the attribute such as sound, etc. Tad, that vyeti, tad vyeti, that decays, that undergoes a change, that declines. Whereas idam tu, where idam tu means what? Whereas this reality, which reality? This all pervasive absolute reality of the whole jagat, implied by the term Brahma, obtaining as the nearest self, the idam tu ashabdadimat. Ashabdadimatvat avyayam. Ashabdadimatvat avyayam. Whereas this Brahma, this reality obtaining as the nearest self, is what now? Avyayam. It is changeless, unchanging, undecaying. Why? Because ashabdadimatvat, due to its attributelessness, due to its not having attributes such as sound, etc. Ashabdadimatvat. Panchami Vibhakti comes. Ashabdadimatvat. Shabdam mudhile gunangal illamayinale. Ashabdadimatvat. Due to its not having the attributes such as shabda, etc., this Brahman is what? Avyayam. It is undecaying, doesn't decay, does not decay, does not change, does not decline. Avyayam means what? Na vyeti. See, vyeti is a verb. Vyeti changes, declines, decays. Na vyeti, reality does not decay, does not decline, does not change. Na vyeti means what? Na kshiyate. Look at this, he gives another verb also. So, na vyeti iti avyayam. Yad vyeti tad vyayam. Yad vyeti tad vyayam. Yad na vyeti tad avyayam. That which decays and declines is vyayam. That which does not decay, decline, change is what? Avyayam. Na vyeti iti avyayam. Na vyeti means nakshiyate. Nakshiyate. Ata evacha, and therefore, nityam. So it is changeless. Changeless means what? Changeless implies beginninglessness, endlessness also. Therefore, nityam, it is always there, timeless, eternal. Yad hi vyeti, that which decays, that which changes, that which declines, tad anityam. So that which does not change, that which does not decay or decline is nityam. Any that which changes, decays, declines is what? Anityam. Yad vyeti tad anityam. So idam tu ashabdadimatvat avyayam. Na vyeti, na kshiyate, as due to its attributelessness, due to its not having attributes such as sound, etc., it is avyayam, does not change, does not decay. Na vyeti, na kshiyate iti avyayam. So therefore it is nityam, timeless, eternal, changeless. Yad hi vyeti tad vyayam, tad anityam. That which changes declines, decays is anityam. That which changes is anityam, that which does not change is nityam. Okay. Yadi hi vyeti tad anityam. Okay. Idam tu na vyeti. Whereas this Atma, this Brahma obtaining as this nearest reality, the truth of I, is what? Na vyeti. It does not decay. Ataha nityam. Therefore, this reality is what? Nityam. This Brahma obtaining as one's own self is nityam, timeless, eternal, permanent. Timeless, eternal, permanent. Ataha nityam. Idam nityam. Idam tu na vyeti ato nityam. This does not decay, therefore it is nityam, permanent, timeless, eternal. Got it? Simple language, isn't it? Okay. If we do one more, then just stop, okay? Itascha. See, itaha cha, itascha. Only itaha means literally in some sambhashan you would have learned. Itaha means from here or hereafter. Itaha, from here, hereafter. But now, the word itaha in this context means therefore. Itaha means ataha. Itaha ittukte ataha. Therefore, and nityam. This reality is what? Nityam. Nityam, timeless, eternal, permanent. Okay. Anadi. Anadi. Now we move on to next word, anadi. Anadi means what? Avidyamanaha adihi. Avidyamanaha adihi. Avidyamana adihi. Beginningless. That which does not have beginning. That for which there is no beginning. Adihi na vidyama. Avidyamanaha. Adihi avidyamanaha. That for which beginning is not there. Beginning is not there means what? Cause is not there. If anything which has a beginning, it must be an effect. Anything which has a beginning must be an effect. If an effect means what? It must have a, if it, anything which has a cause, if something has a cause, it has a beginning. Whereas reality, Brahma does not have a cause. Therefore what? It is beginningless. Anadi, avidyamanaha adihi, avidyamanaha karanam asya, tadi idam anadi, that this Brahma obtaining as one's own self is said to be beginningless because there is no cause for this Brahma. There is no beginning for this Brahma. Next sentence, yadhi. Adimat, yadhi adimat. Adimat means that which has beginning. Adimat means having a beginning. Adi means beginning. Adimat means that which has a beginning. That which has a beginning, adimat, tat karyatvat anityam. So, beautiful. Shankaracharya, beautifully he gives. What is anityam? What is impermanent, time-bound? It says, impermanent or time-bound is that which is an effect. What is the effect? Effect is that which has a beginning, which has a cause. So that which has a cause is that which has a beginning. That which has a beginning is an effect. And that which has an effect is what? Impermanent. How many reasons you say? You must say this, beautiful. Yad hi adimat, that which has a beginning. Tat karyam, that which has a beginning is that which has a cause. That which has a cause is an effect. That which is an effect is what? Anityam. Yad adimat, yad hi adimat, tat karyatvat anityam. That which has a beginning is that which has a cause, and that which has a cause, because of its having a status of being an effect, it is anityam, it is time bound, it is impermanent. Okay. Then anityam karane praliyate. Karane praliyate. What happens when time bound means what? It goes back to its cause. Karane vyaliyate. It dissolves into its cause. That which has a beginning has the status of being an effect. That which is an effect is time bound because it does not continue to exist forever. It goes back to its cause. It resolves into its cause. Karane praliyate. Yatha, just as yatha prithivyadi, just as the elements such as earth, etc., just as elements such as earth, etc., resolve into its cause. When you say elements, mean what? The elements, the elementals, the whole jagat resolves into its cause. So any effect will resolve into its cause. It loses its that form, goes back to its cause. Therefore, what? Everything, anything which has a beginning, being an effect, is time bound. Yad adimat tat karyatvat anityam. Therefore, what happens? Karane praliyate yatha prithivyadi. Just as earth, etc., resolves into its cause, any effect will resolve into its cause. Idam tu. What about Brahma? What about Brahma? Idam tu. Whereas is all pervasive, absolute reality, Brahma obtaining as the nearest self, idam tu sarvakaranatvat. Due to its having the status of being the cause of everything. Brahman is the cause of everything. Uncaused, causeless, absolute cause of everything. Uncaused, causeless, absolute cause of everything. Sarvakaranatvat. Due to its having the status of being the cause of everything. Akaryam. It is not an effect. Brahman is not an effect. Okay, Brahman is absolute cause. We say Brahman is looked upon as the absolute cause from the standpoint of the jagat. Absolute cause means what? Any cause which has its own cause is said to be relative cause. Any cause which has its own cause is a relative cause. So wood is a cause from the standpoint of the table. The same wood from the standpoint of the tree becomes an effect. The tree from the standpoint of the seed becomes an effect. The cause which is an effect of something is said to be a relative cause. Whereas the cause which does not have cause is absolute cause. Here, reality is the only absolute cause. Why? It is causeless, uncaused, absolute cause of everything. From the standpoint of reality, reality is not even the cause. The standpoint of the jagat, reality is looked upon as the absolute, uncaused, causeless cause of everything. Therefore, because it is absolute cause, it is not an effect. It has no cause. Reality has no cause, therefore it is not an effect. Because it has no, it is not an effect. It is permanent. It is timeless. Idam to sarva karanatvat, due to its having the status of being the absolute cause of everything, this Brahma reality is akaryam. It is not an effect. Akaryatvat, as this Brahman is not the karyam, akaryatvat, due to its having the status of being not an effect, nityam, akaryatvat nityam. Brahman is nityam because it is akaryam. It's akaryam because it has no karanam. Whereas Brahman is the absolute cause of everything. Very nice. Sarva karanatvat akaryam. Brahman happens to be the absolute cause, uncaused, causeless cause of everything. Brahman is not an effect. Akaryatvat. As Brahman is not an effect, it is nityam. It is permanent. It is timeless. It is eternal. What does it mean? Na tasya karanam asti. Brahman, thus absolute reality, Brahma, Atma does not have cause. Tasya na karanam na asti. Brahman does not have a cause of its own. Yasmin paliyeta, in which Brahman can resolve. Brahman does, absolute reality does not have a cause, its own cause in which it can resolve. It may resolve. No, Brahman has no cause. Therefore, Brahman cannot resolve into anything else. Everything else resolves in Brahman. Brahman does not resolve in anything else. Why? Brahman has no cause. The whole Jagat, objective universe, including time and space, resolve. We saw how the gross universe resolves in subtle universe. Subtle universe resolves in unmanifest. Unmanifest resolves in Brahman. Brahman resolves in what? Brahman cannot resolve into anything else. Sthula prapancha, the gross universe, the gross manifestation will resolve into subtle manifestation. Subtle universe, suksha prapancha, will resolve into avyakta prapancha, unmanifest universe. Unmanifested universe will resolve into what? Brahma. Brahma, will you say Brahma will resolve into something? No. Brahman will not, cannot resolve into anything else, because Brahman has no karanam. Brahman is neither the cause nor the effect. But Brahman is looked upon as the absolute uncaused, causeless cause from the standpoint of the universe. Idam to sarva karanatvat akaryam. Sentence number one. Akaryatvat nityam. Tasya karna karanam asti. Yasmin paliyeta. Got it? Tatha anantam. I'm going to stop here. Tatha anantam. Similarly, what? Brahman is also endless. Endless. So with what does it mean? Avidyamanaha antaha. That for which there is no end. Avidyamanaha and that for which there is no end. Avidyamanaha antaha yasya tad anantam. Karyam asya tad anantam. Therefore, this big endless. Okay. यथा कदल्यादेहे फलादि कार्य उत्पादनेन अपि अनित्यत्वं दृष्टम्। यथा कदली आदेहे, कदली मीन्स् बनाना प्लांटर, कदली मीन्स् प्लांटन ट्री, कदली आदेहे फलादि कार्य उत्पादनेन अपि अनित्यत्वं दृष्टम्। See, the plant and tree, for plant and tree, etc., to the production of fruits, etc., anityatvam drishtam. We understand what? Anityatvam drishtam. We very understood the time-bound nature, time-boundness, or impermanence has been, is always very clearly understood. नच तथापि अन्तवत्त्वं ब्रह्मणः, इवन देन तथा अन्तवन्तं अन्तवत्त्वं ब्रह्मणः न, सच एंड आल्सो, सच चेंज और एंड इज नॉट देयर फॉर ब्रह्मन, द रियलिटी। Just as for plant and tree, etc., which by producing the fruits, etc., what happens? The plant and tree produces fruit and it also comes to an end. Anityattam drishtam. We understand, see how its impermanence is, impermanence of the tree such as plant and tree, etc., is seen very clearly by us. Tatnacha tathapi antavattvam brahmanaha na antavattvam, such antavattvam means that such an end is not there for Brahman. Brahman does not have the status of having an end. Brahman does not have the status of having an end like the plant and tree, which the end of which is seen by its, by producing the fruits. Plant and tree is a cause and it produces the fruits. And then what happened? The cause also comes to an end. Such an end is not there for Brahman. Ataha api nityam. Therefore what? Brahman is absolutely eternal, absolutely permanent, absolutely timeless. Okay, I'll stop here. We'll see a few more sentences. We'll do next class. It's all right. I need to say a few more things here. I need a little more explanation. I have to do some explanations. That is why I'm stopping. Any questions here?
Navidyamanaha. That's Navidyate, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah. Shanachanda Shabda. Yeah. See, Vidyate means asti. Vidyate vartate. Now we can say vidyamanaha means being, avidyamanaha not being. Adihi avidyamanaha, avidyamanaha adihi yasya saha anadihi, that for which there is no beginning. Any sentence here? Everything is clear? Everything is very clear. Yeah?
In that same sentence, do we have to supply like nasti because it says karanam asya But the meaning we take is has no cause, but karanamasya means has a cause.
Where?
Anadi avidyamanaha adihi, and then afterwards karanamasya tadidam anadi.
Yeah. It is nityam anadi. Avidyamanaha adihi. Adihi is equal to karanam. Asya. Avidyamanaha adihi karanam asya asti. Tad idam anadi. Asti is implied.
Should it be nasti, which is implied, Swamiji? Or no, because it has no cause.
You know, avidyamanaha adihi itself, a itself a negative thing, isn't it? Vidyamanaha means existing. Avidyamanaha, non-existing. Avidyamanaha adihi karanam asya. Iti tad idam anadi. Iti. Om. Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.